searching for a heart that will love him. Longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate. And longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me, serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all. And he says, love me, love me.
Somebody out there. Good morning, everybody, all Blog Talk listeners and Running for Christ Ministries family. It is Saturday morning, and we are here to go to school. So let's get started in prayer. Father, this morning we praise and thank you for being the good, good Father that you are. You love us, and you love us so much that you gave us your very own Son so that we could come before your throne and know you better and draw back into the family that you created us to be. Lord, right now we ask by your Holy Spirit that we open our minds and hearts to you to hear what you have to say, to digest it. But Lord, through and by your power, give us true understanding so we will know what you're doing and that we can trust you. We pray and ask all this in the name of our King, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Again, I say good morning to my Saturday school class. We are continuing in our study of what we believe, not just knowing what, but why we believe it. Why do we believe things like the God is redeeming the earth, and we believe that God is in control. And now we're going to move into actually showing even more so how God is in control. The last lessons that we went over talked about what God created in the beginning, which we're going to revisit shortly, and what God intended, and what happened throughout Old Testament history, and even now we still see that we still follow the same patterns, how God created a family, and as the family grew, the family became nations, the shared culture and identity and history, And then from that, because, again, of the advent of evil and sin in the world, we end up with these empires, these oppressive systems that control people for the manipulation and benefit of one group over another, just all byproducts of sin. And these empires continue to grow and build in Egypt and Assyria. There were more, but the major ones were Egypt, Assyria, followed by Babylon. Then we had the Medes and the Persians, the Greeks, and then we ended up with the Roman Empire. So before we get into today's lesson, I have a couple questions. But first, I need somebody to read the key verse. I hope you have the new sheet that says, Jesus is King.
The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices.
That's not it.
You see the key.
That's not the right sheet. That's not the right sheet. The title for this week is Jesus is King.
The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Colossians 1, verse 15 in the NIV.
Okay. Mother, we have to make sure you get the right sheet tomorrow. All right. We know, who is the Son?
Jesus.
And what is the Son according to this scripture?
The image of the invisible God.
All right. So he is an image bearer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he is, and some other translations are more strongly say he is the exact representation. In other words, he's not just a image bearer. He is the perfect image bearer. He is, when you want to know what God looks like, who do you look at?
Jesus.
His Son.
Yes, you look at his Son. And so, and we also know who else bears the characteristics of image bearer.
We do. Human beings.
All human beings. And I want to impress that upon us, because we're going to look into how the exact representation, the perfect representation of God, that person embodied how to treat other image bearers. And according to scripture, we are being conformed into the likeness of God's Son. We're being conformed. We're being changed to be exactly like he is. So I'm starting with a question that's not on your sheet, which is good. What is a major characteristic of a king?
He's rich and he has a throne.
His rulership and authority.
All right. So combine all that together, and what would you say that king has?
Dominion.
Okay. Now give me another word for authority, dominion. Thinking P word.
Power.
Power.
Oh, yes.
Power. What good is a king if he has no power?
Amen.
I mean, even in England, in Great Britain, King Charles, even though he's not a government official, he wields a lot of power. I mean, the prime minister visits him and reports to him at times. So he has a lot of power, and partly because he has a lot of money, as somebody said, and he sits on a throne, as it was mentioned, and he does have dominion because his rule goes outside of England, you know, Prince Wales, Scotland, you know. So we see real time, we can see an example of a king, but a king, one of the main characteristics of a king is that he has power. Keep that in mind as we go through these lessons today. Question number one, what is the kingdom of God? We should have this down by now.
Mm-hmm.
It's God's reign in the world as he has intended it to be in the beginning.
All right. So we know that. Everybody, God's reigning in the world as he intended it to be from the beginning. That's what kingdom is. That's what kingdom looks like. God ruling as he intended in the beginning. So let's go back to the beginning. Question two, what did God intend for mankind from the beginning? I need my reader. Somebody read Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 through 30, and then chapter 2, verses 8 through 16.
What'd you say?
Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 through 30.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it reads as follows. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Then God said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit foods for your food. And I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Everything has life. And that is what happened.
All right. So we got part, the first part. So what did God create when he created mankind? What did he intend for them to do in the beginning?
To be fruitful and multiply.
Okay. To be fruitful and multiply. What else did he intend for them to do?
And to rule.
To reign, to rule over what?
Every living creature that walked the earth. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say fish of the sea, birds, creatures that crawl on the earth, wildlife.
Okay. So they were mankind. God intended for mankind to be fruitful and multiply.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, to make, reproduce,
mm-hmm,
like kind, and then to rule, to reign. We're going to get into a little bit of what that ruling and reigning shit looks like in a second. All right, go to Genesis chapter 2, and somebody read verses 8 through 16.
And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he had made. The Lord God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful and that produced delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed from the land of Eden, watering the garden, and then dividing into four branches. The first branch, called the Pisgah, flowed around the entire land of Havilah, where gold is found. The gold of that land is exceptionally pure. Aromatic resin and the oxen stone are also found there. The second branch, called the Gihon, flowed around the entire land of Cush. The third branch, called the Tigris, flowed east of the land of Asher. The fourth branch is called the Euphrates.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and to watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Mo. So now we get some more detail about God creating. He gave them responsibility to rule,
mm-hmm,
to have dominion. And he placed them in a place of rulership, a place to rule from, which was called the what?
The Garden of
Eden. The Garden. Yeah, the Garden of Eden. That's where he placed them. And what's specific about this place, this garden? What do we see here about this garden?
That it has everything we need to survive. Well, it has everything that God made. It's able to survive here. It's able to flourish here.
Okay. All right. Using that word that we're going to keep using a lot of. All right. This garden. And then this garden is, you know, some of you all know about gardens. If you've had one, if you planted one, or if you've seen one. What does a garden need?
Water.
What did God place in the middle of that garden? Somebody said it, but I missed it.
A river.
And the river, when the river flows through the garden, the river breaks off into branches. So that means this river is breaking off water and everything. And there's some imagery here that I won't get into. That's reserved for our Sunday school class. But for our purposes of class, we're understanding that this. So where you have a river and you have a garden, if a garden's getting constantly watered, that means that garden is going to do what?
Flourish.
Yes, the word flourish. I love that you're using that word. So in answering question two completely, we know God gave mankind the earth to rule. Because that's what the garden basically was going to end up being the headquarters. Because if you're going to multiply, and eventually, like in some of our houses growing up, the more people were born into the house, the more crowded that house got, right? So the goal was grow up and move out so we would have more room. Well, that's what God intended. He didn't intend them to just stay there. He intended for them to flourish, to move out and expand that garden everywhere, that flourishing everywhere. Understand?
Yes.
Okay. So now, on your paper, if you have it, I have a quote that comes from Humanity's Dominion Over Earth that actually expounds on this. If somebody would carefully read the quote that it's on your paper.
Humanity is given the task of taking care of God's creation and to draw out, work with, and benefit from its inherent potentialities as God's representative on earth. What is that word?
Analogous.
Analogous to the way God created. Humanity is called not only to fill the earth, but to also subdue it. 1:28, which suggests a great certain resistance and need for training. Nonetheless, this does not give humans permission to exploit and destroy the creation for selfish gain. Rather, we are to exercise dominion over the creation as God would take care of his creation, with love and concern for its welfare. Regardless of the specific view one adopts of the meaning of the image of God, Scripture is clear that humans are to exercise dominion over the creation as God's vice regents. Consequently, as image bearers, we are to represent God and reflect his glory, power, and authority over creation. In doing so, we reflect the image of God.
All right. Thank you. So how many of you all read over that before? I can't see your hands, but I know you did, right?
I did. I did because I finally got the lesson on time.
Okay. And there was some fun part because I sent the wrong lesson at first to Pastor, and I looked at it and went, uh-oh, that's the wrong lesson. So I said this. All right, well, I'm glad you did take the time because it gave you a chance to kind of chew over what she just read And highlighted in that is that to subdue it meant that there was something not necessarily evil or bad, but things need to be controlled. Can you all agree that, like I said, if you've had a garden or even you've raised children, don't they need boundaries in order to thrive?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. That's what's wrong today. A garden, you need to weed it and you need to box it in. If certain plants you don't box in, they will overtake everything else. So humanity was given the task of basically, on behalf of God, harnessing his creation so that it could flourish, reproduce, and become helpful, because we're going to get to the definition of flourishing in a minute. All right, so that was God's plan. It was never God's plan that humans exploit or destroy creation for selfish gain. But as we know from our previous lesson, that what happened after the fall?
That's exactly what man began to do. They became violent, murderous, and everything else that we could think of. That is not the will of God.
So we got empires, and we got nations warring against other nations and enslaving other people and taking advantage of them in violence, as she said. We got all of these things that come. Is that what God intended?
No.
No.
So who still has, but did God change his mind about what humanity is supposed to do?
No.
No.
No. No. It's still God's intention that mankind do what we just read.
Right.
As image bearers to represent God, reflect his glory and power and authority over creation. That is how we do it. We're going, you know, we're going to get to us eventually, but we got to go through our king first. So, question three, what was all of creation to do under mankind? The answer is simple. It's our definition. If it's at the bottom of your page, somebody read the definition of the word flourish.
Of a person, animal, or other living organisms grow or develop in a healthy or vigorous way, especially as a result of a particularly favorable environment. Active and successful, needs met at a high level.
All right, thank you. Now, this is actually the definition of the word flourish. The asterisk for active and successful is from a brother that actually lives here in Detroit area who was expounding on flourishing, human flourishing, because we think to meet people's needs, we can meet them at any level. Because somebody says, for example, a child is hungry. I remember seeing this firsthand in Kenya, children being hungry. And all they could give them was grain to make ugali, which is grits on steroids. And so that was the only food they can have. But could they flourish just eating grits every day? Can we flourish just eating grits alone every day?
No.
It's not enough.
Because
where's your vitamin C? Where's your magnesium, your protein? Where are all the things that create your cells to let your cells function properly and the antioxidants and the things that wash your blood? And so you see that in order to thrive, to flourish, you need proper nutrients, right? Human beings.
Yes.
And also animals and plants, everything needs proper care, needs their needs met in order to flourish as God intended. So as you see for our example for the word flourish, this is what God intended for the beginning. Nobody's supposed to be oppressed. Nobody's supposed to lack. Nobody's supposed to be sick. Nobody's supposed to be deficient. We were intended to flourish. So what was creation to do under mankind?
Flourish.
Flourish. Flourish. Keep that in mind, because that's going to be flourishing. If we understand that, it helps change. It's a game changer for our focus. Because a lot of times we focus so much on getting people to heaven, we don't focus on them flourishing. We tell them the good, Christ died for your sins, buried, rose on the third day according to the scripture. But when we look at the ministry of Jesus, it was way bigger than that. All right, let's keep going. So, question four, what was the world like? Who was in charge when Jesus came into the world and began his ministry? What group was in charge?
Rome.
And we know Rome was a what?
Empire.
It was an empire. So let's think about what we know about the Roman Empire. What were they doing to citizens under their rule?
Yeah.
Crucifying
some. Mm-hmm. What else were they doing to them?
Enslaving them.
Yes. Anything else?
Oppressing.
Oppression. All right. So their needs weren't being met at a high level, were they?
Not at all.
So humanity was not flourishing when Christ came into the world at all. And we're not even going to get into what we can talk about a little bit, because all of this is sin. All of this falls under the category of sin. It's evil. Mm-hmm. And we need to start calling evil, evil. You know, mm-hmm. Scripture tells us, don't call what's evil good and what's good evil. Call evil, evil, and don't mm-hmm. be afraid of the word, because that's what God says it is. All right, so that was the world that our Savior was born into and came into and grew mm-hmm. up under. Remember, he spent a few years in Egypt as a child because of, why did he have to go to Egypt as a baby, as a little fellow?
There was a hit on his life.
Yeah. Another king was trying to take out the king. Let me ask you a question. This is putting your Bible together. What other soon-to-be king had a hit out on him?
David.
Ooh, somebody David. Say that again. Who did David? Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus often referred to as son of?
The son of David.
Mm-hmm. You think the Bible isn't saying something repeatedly? All right, let's keep going. I'm telling myself don't go there. All right, so let's ask this question, number five. What did the miracles Jesus performed say about God's kingdom? Let's go to Mark chapter 1, and somebody read Mark chapter 1, verse mm-hmm. 15.
Later, the time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. Amen.
Amen. So Jesus comes and he declares that what is here?
The kingdom of God.
The kingdom. So the rule and reign of God, as he intended, has arrived.
Okay. All right now.
And what did God intend for everybody, all of creation, to do?
Flourish.
But did Jesus come into a world where creation was flourishing?
No.
Matter of fact, it was the opposite.
Hmm.
As a matter of fact, every system was broken. The political system was broken. The religious system of Israel was broken.
Hmm.
Every system was broken. I hope we get some hope out of today's lesson as well. but along comes Jesus. So let's look at four types of miracles in the gospel and see the kingdom take dominion over empire. I make sure I got all my notes together. All right, let's go look at these miracles. The first set we're going to look at is sickness and disease, because we know that sickness and disease is not what?
God's intention for mankind.
It's not God's intention for mankind. We were supposed to be fruitful and multiply, weren't we? All right.
Yeah.
Somebody go to let's all go to Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to go through the miracles of Jesus, and we're going to look at how Jesus comes into the picture and lives out the invisible God, invisible form. Matthew chapter 8, and somebody read verses 1 through 17.
Large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. "Lord," the man said, "if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." Jesus reached out and touched him. "I'm willing," he said, "be healed." And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus said to him, "Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed." When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with them, "Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain." Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." But the officer said, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my house, to my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have the authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed, turning to those who were following him, and he said, "I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from the east and the west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, "Go home. Because you believed, it has happened." And the young servant was healed at that same hour. When Jesus arrived at Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. But when Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her. Then she got up and prepared a meal for him. That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out every evil spirit with the simple command, and he healed all the sick. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, "He took our sickness and removed our diseases." Amen.
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 All right, so we got a trifecta here with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
What did he heal?
He healed the leprosy.
Okay.
He healed the mother with the fever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and he healed the servant.
All right. And not only were they healed, but look at each case with the man with leprosy. Verse 3. When was he cured?
Instantly.
All right. Look at the servant of the centurion at the end of verse 13. When was he healed?
At the very hour.
The same hour.
That he asked.
The same hour that he asked. And remember, this healing took place from a distance.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't even in the room with the man. All right, and then Peter's mother-in-law, verse 15, when did she get healed?
When he touched her hand. So instantly.
Right then.
Mm-hmm. And then what did she do after he healed her?
She
got up and cooked her. Now, how many of us have had a fever?
Right.
And got up and did something after the fever broke?
Mm-mm. It ain't happening.
Nope.
You feel like you've been
wrung out to dry, wrung out like on a clothesline or something. You just horrible. Your body's still aching, but your fever breaks.
Mm-hmm.
You're weak. But here, each one of these, it was immediate. It was immediate. All right, so we look at this first healing because remember, we're looking at the kingdom taking dominion in an empire where there is no remedy. You know, this person with leprosy. There, scholars argue about whether it was leprosy or if it was a form of eczema. It doesn't matter. They had a skin disorder that left them miserable. So the fact and whatever leprosy took form of, it required that you go to the priest in order to be validated because they knew you had leprosy because in order to, you couldn't participate in coming to the temple. So for you to show back up at the temple, they were like, wait a minute, you on the leprosy list. What's going on? They presented themselves. Whatever the skin condition was he had was removed. So they were restored back to fellowship, to service. And let's go on to Mark chapter 2, and let's look at the next miracle we're going to look at. Excuse me. Somebody read verses 1 through 12 of Mark chapter 2.
When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, "What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sin." Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. So he asked them, "Why do you question this in your heart? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk?' So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." Amen.
Amen.
This is by far one of my favorite stories of the miracles because I remember from childhood when the ladies used to use the flannelgraph and Girls and Boys Bible Club, and this one was always so fascinating because there's a lot going on. It's very visual. So we have here in Jesus' healing, who did he heal?
Someone that was paralyzed.
Paralyzed man.
What was different about this healing?
That he did it in front of everybody.
Okay. It was very public. What else was it about this healing?
That Jesus said that your sins are forgiven instead of you are healed.
Oh.
Wow. So he dealt with the real culprit in the matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, is it intended that this man should be a paralytic?
No.
That was God's will. I hope this can help us, too, when we try to answer, when people, you know, the question is all, why do bad things happen to good people?
Mm-hmm.
The world we live in, or why does God allow bad things to happen? It's the world that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
The world is not as God intended it to be. So kids get sick. People get sick and die. Accidents happen. Bad things happen. And so this is, instead of, you know, because, again, a lot of times we give our trite or our answers and people just can't understand it. It happens to everybody. It's not just good people that it happens to. It happens to all kinds of people. Some of you personally are experiencing these things. So you know firsthand, you didn't do anything that you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus said, so that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Get up and walk.
Yeah.
So that you may know, so that we will know that he's able. All right, let's keep going, because we could do a whole sermon on that, and I want to finish sickness today, sickness and disease. Let's go to Luke. Chapter 8. As you see, I'm trying to go through each one of the Gospels to present where I can. Monday's miracles, a lot of them are duplicated. So if you don't see something somewhere, this is not comprehensive. This is just to give us a sampling. Luke chapter 8, if somebody read verses 43 through 48.
A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me." When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him, and she had been immediately healed. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Is that
right? Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So now we have another one of my favorite people. This woman with the 12 years of bleeding, and you all know I had taught this and preached this, so we know how bad this situation is. We women especially know how bad this woman's situation is. But here, how did she get healed that was different from everybody else?
She took her healing of his garment. She had faith.
Her faith. She didn't come asking, did she?
No.
No.
She just touched him.
Yeah. She believed that if she could just, and I keep meaning to show that what she actually touched on him, she was not up around his head, his neck, his back. She was down below where she couldn't be seen, almost just touching. It wouldn't be obvious. She would be basically touching the fringes of his tassels, that were hanging from his prayer shawl that he would have on.
Mm-hmm.
So she was touching just that.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't even be anything that any human being would feel.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus knew this touch was different.
Yes.
Touch of faith. Her believing that if she just touched him, because there was other folks around, she didn't say, well, if I just, Peter close to Jesus, if I touch Peter, or these guys have been with him, so maybe if I just touch them, you know, if I can get close enough to them, maybe they'll put in a good word. And again, in this situation, this was extremely dangerous for this woman. It would be known that she was out of fellowship. She would not be allowed in, basically, in definitely not anywhere near the temple because she was bleeding. She would, home would be out of question because everything she would sit on or touch would be rendered unclean. Family, relationship, anybody who touched her would be rendered unclean. So here she is in a crowd of people and a crowd of religious folks who would definitely say, you know, don't touch me. You make me unclean. But she touched Jesus because somewhere I can have to believe deep in her soul, she realized by touching him, she would not render him unclean.
Yeah.
Something about him is different. And what do we know is different about Jesus than anybody, any other human being?
He is God. Mm-hmm.
Not only is he God, but he is what is a human being?
He's
man.
Divine.
We getting there. Keep going. He's without sin.
Oh, he's without sin. Okay.
Is a human being. that's what's totally different. None of the rest of us can make that claim.
Right.
All
okay.
Right, so we got him healing this disease, and let's go to John chapter 9, and let's get into the last one under sickness and disease. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. Somebody read that.
As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the task assigned us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. Then he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some said he was, and others said, no, he must just look like him. But the beggar kept saying, yes, I am the same one. They asked, who healed you? What happened? He told them, the man they called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed, and now I can see. Where is he now, they asked. I don't know, he replied. Read on.
Nope, that's it. All right. So now, what do we have? What sickness or disease is healed here?
Blindness.
Blindness. Mm-hmm. And what's specific about this man's blindness?
From birth.
He's blind from birth.
So this is some type of congenital defect. Something mm-hmm. didn't form right while he was conceived. So something's either out of order or missing in his ability to see. We don't know what. We'll ask him one day. But the profoundness of this miracle, remember, in the beginning, as intended, God had created, everything God created was good in the beginning. And remember, to be fruitful and multiply. Remember, I talked to you about women in childbirth. It was not supposed to be difficult. It was supposed to be easy. There would be no infant mortality or maternal mortality, or there would be none of that. If God intended, but because of sin, because of our evil entering into sin and entering into the world, everything is not as it's intended to be. But here comes Jesus, and this man who was intended by God's design to be born seeing, hearing, walking, talking, thriving, what's the word?
Flourishing.
He can't. Because he's blind. And so he has to be led around. He has to be taken care of. They didn't have seeing eye dogs and sticks and braille in his day. There was a lot of superstition in his day. Look at the question that the disciples asked Jesus in verse 2. What question did they ask him?
Was it because of his parents? Or did he sin?
Who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? What did he do in the womb? What did he do on the way out of the womb?
Couldn't do anything.
It was weird. But we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Because of sin, these things happen. So the question, but the superstition is, well, somebody must have done something. Because he's cursed by God. He's born blind. They're cursed by God. They're born poor. They're cursed by God. They're born black. They're cursed by God. They're born in Haiti. So what was Jesus' response?
No.
Verse 3.
Neither.
Why did he... What did he say? This happened
about
because of
so
what?
That God's like work might be displayed in him.
I don't feel like it's coming in.
Okay. And what is Jesus doing as a human being?
Showing the power of God.
All right. Remember, let's go back to the beginning. What was humanity intended? Go back to the front of your sheet.
Okay.
And in that paragraph where I gave you, the quote that I gave you, look at that. The last sentence in the first paragraph says, rather, we are to exercise dominion over God, over creation, as God would take care of his creation. With love and concern for its welfare.
Yeah.
What is Jesus doing?
Showing love
imaging
and concern.
God in the flesh.
Yep. He's imaging God by showing love and concern for this man. God is being seen. Because, again, this man is blind. He's outside of the fellowship. Something wrong with him. Somebody seen him. His parents are barely hanging on to their church membership because they want to throw all of them out by the time the Pharisees get through investigating. But no, Jesus is concerned about his welfare, about he's concerned because God is concerned. And no matter what has happened or what circumstances have led to leprosy, the woman with the issue of blood, Peter's mother-in-law, The man the man that was a paralytic, no matter what circumstances, what did God intend from the beginning for them to be to do what?
Flourish.
And so when Jesus heals all these people, what can they now do?
Flourish.
Flourish as God intended.
Flourish. So the centurion who was servant, who was serving the centurion, but he was sick, he was paralyzed with whatever was paralyzing him. He couldn't do his job. So how is he supposed to get paid? But Jesus restores him back to health on the faith of his employer. And he can now go back to doing his job, and he can take care of his family. The friend who was the paralytic, his friends are carrying him around wherever he goes. I'm sure those are some good friends, because I can't hardly carry some of these little kids around for long periods of time.
Take care of myself.
But now his friends, exactly. But now his friends' burden is relieved in caring for him. And he can participate in taking care of himself. Peter's mother-in-law, hospitality. Jesus came over for dinner, and you sick in the bed. And here Jesus is at your house for dinner. But he goes in and heals her, and now she can be hospitable to Jesus. She can show Jesus hospitality by serving him and his disciples. Because remember, the women ran the house. This is important. This is part of her responsibility, hospitality, making sure that people are taken care of. But she couldn't do it because she was sick. And then it's God born blind. Never seen. Didn't know what this guy looked like. Didn't know what his mother and father looked like. His relationships with creation were damaged. His relationship with his family and friends were damaged. He couldn't even tell you what he looked like. But Jesus heals him. All right. So I'm going to finish with this quote still on that front of the page. The last sentence of the second paragraph says, consequently, as image bearers, we are to represent God and reflect his glory, power, and authority over creation. Is that what Jesus is doing?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And in doing so, does he reflect the image of God into the world?
Yes.
All right. We're going to keep looking at the miracles of Jesus, but we're going to show why he got promoted, why he got the title of king, how he not only had it, but he earned it. And by him being king, that means he has a kingdom, and a kingdom has citizens, and those citizens are intended to rule under their king. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for today's lesson. We thank you for Jesus. We are excited and looking forward to learning more about why he came and how he became our king. We praise you and thank you, for it's in his name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Another good lesson, Sister Janice. We just thank you, Sister Pastor Janice Tate, for the lesson and your loyalty to teach God's word. You know we appreciate you, and have a beautiful day.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And thanks, everybody else, for participating. You guys are just always there. So just depress your one if you're not participating in the next part of the service, okay? So that, because we got a lot of listeners, so I need to know who's who, okay? So, you know, we always say get your coffee, your tea, your cookies, and crumpets, so that after this next selection, we will start our morning worship service. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, welcome to the church house. 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 Welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house. I can feel it in my soul when I'm walking in. Open up, I've been knocking, don't you want a man? You took the punishment of man, he let it fall on him. He gives eternal life to everyone who calls on him. Hey, welcome to the church house. God could take your hurt out. Let him take your dirt out. Everything gon' work out. Why you asking questions, baby? Blessings stacked on blessings, baby. I'ma give my best to the day. Got checked all of my breath, though, baby. I'm with all my Houston brother. It's my kingdom music, brother. God placed you in leadership. You better not go abuse it, brother. Celebrate the next man. When you do, make sure your motives are pure. If you can't celebrate the next man, boy, you never get yours. Hey, hop out of traffic. You can have it if it's time to go. I cast that devil out. You hate. What you hiding for? If you ain't rhyming for the kingdom, why you rhyming then? That cat rap, you just lying then. But step aside and let Christ come in. Welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house. I can feel it in my soul when I'm walking in. Open up, I've been knocking, don't you want a man? The punishment of man, he let it fall on him. He gives eternal life to everyone who calls on him.
I feel it in my bones while approaching the throne. Head and feet is where I've grown, never marching alone. I'm a soldier, scripture quoting, Bible toting, Jesus promoting, disciple coaching. My whole demeanor was hopeless, but now I'm a leader focused. Might as well be eating honey and locusts. Rocking camel skin the way I preach and repent. The kingdom of God's at hand, baptize the family and friends. Even dunk some former enemies in the water. My way's clearly pleasing the Father. I'm talking Proverbs 16:7. Some call me pastor, others know me as their street reverend. Been loving Christ since I was at least 7. Ran like the prodigal, but his pa gave me new life, no
C-section. Hey, welcome to the church house. 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 Welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house. I can feel it in my soul when I'm walking in. Open up, I've been knocking, don't you want a man? You took the punishment of man, he let it fall on him. He gives eternal life to everyone who calls on him.
Look what God did in my life. I'm a walking testimony. I be shedding tears of joy because he blew his breath upon me. Ministry get busy, but I'm staying at your feet. I'm trusting in your will. I know you want the best for me. I'm bearing fruit till he pruned the branch. And I bear some more while I spirit dance. Put my life up in his hands and abide in you. This God's plan. Soldier walking with generals on front line. We fighting. My mind right, my heart pure. That oil flowing inside me. And yeah, my faith get tested still, but I know it's alright. That gon' give my God a chance to show out in my life. When you at the bottom, ain't nowhere to look but up. And we gon' give him glory. Hey, yo, welcome to the church.
Welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house.
I can feel it in my soul when I'm walking in. Open up, I've been knocking, don't you want a man? You took the punishment of man, he let it fall on him.
He gives eternal life to everyone who calls on him.
Yeah, welcome to the church, we got open arms, you can take a seat.
You good right here?
This is where it's love, spiritually it's good, you can feel the peace.
Feel it.
Gave his only son, put him on the cross just for you and me.
You and me.
Think about his great sight, shed his blood for every human being.
Come on.
I know you won't heal it, life is trouble, you're sick of the pain.
Man.
Come here, let me take you to Jesus, I promise you, he'll make you whole again.
Yeah.
His choice is free indeed, and he believes in open doors.
Yeah.
He give you eternal life, take away your eternal scars. Disciples walk with you, you become part of the body.
Yeah.
Shoulders to lean on, keep you encouraged on this journey. If you hungry, we'll feed you. This is daily bread. The living water, you never thirst again.
Hey, welcome to the church house. 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 Welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house.
Feel it in my soul.
I can note you on a man. He took the punishment, a man, he let it fall on him. He gives eternal life to everyone who calls on him.
All right, now, good song. Welcome to the church house. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Runner for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation scripture and prayer. At Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And, you know, today is Youth Saturday, and on the fourth and or fifth Saturday of each month, we invite our youth to participate in our morning worship service. And, you know, many of our youth are working, and it's summertime, and they're on vacation, and then just enjoying the summer because school will soon be in again. And so standing in for our youth today is our very own sister deaconess, Rebecca Johnson. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me. I'll start with our proclamation, and it goes like this. Why we are here, proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King preexisted as God the Son. Jesus the King was sent by God the Father. Jesus the King took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David. Jesus the King died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. Jesus the King was buried. Jesus the King was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Jesus the King appeared to many witnesses. Jesus the King is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ. Jesus the King has sent the Holy Spirit to his rule and will come again as the final judge to rule. And our scripture for today is titled, Do Not Worry. It's coming from Matthew chapter number 6, verses 25 through 34. That's Matthew chapter 6. Verses 25 through 34, and it reads as follows. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. And let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this worship service now or later. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity to offer you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word lift Jesus so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that proclamation scripture prayer. Sister Rebecca, you know we appreciate you, and have a beautiful day.
Thank you for having me. You do the same.
Thank you. Okay, now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our songs, specially selected by our own shepherd, Pastor O.
If this life has anything to gain at all, I'll count a loss if I can't hear you, feel you, cause I need you. Can't walk this earth alone. I recognize I'm not my own. So before I fall, I need to hear you, feel you, as I live to make my boast in you alone.
With every breath I take, with every heartbeat, sunrise or the moonlight in a dark street, every glance, every dance, every note of a song, it's all a gift undeserved that I shouldn't have known. Every day that I lie, every moment I covet, I'm deserving to die, I'm just earning your judgment. Without the cross, there's only condemnation. If Jesus wasn't executed, there's no celebration. So in times that are good, in times that are bad, for any times that I've had it all, I will be glad. And I will boast in the cross, I'll boast in my pain. I will boast in the sunshine, boast in his rain. What's my life if it's not praising you? Another dollar in my bank account, a vain pursuit. I do not count my life as any value or precious at all. Let me finish my race, let me answer my call. But it is, we swear. Think we holding our own, just a fistful of air. God has never been obligated to give us life. If we fought for our rights, we be in hell tonight. Mere sinners owe nothing but a fierce hand. We never loved him, we pushed away his fierce hand. I rejected his love, grace, kindness, and mercy. Dying of thirst, yet willing to die thirsty. Eternally worthy, how could I live for less? Patiently, you turn my heart away from selfishness. I volunteer for your sanctifying surgery. I know the Spirit's purging me of everything that's hurting me. Remove the veil from my darkened eyes. So now every morning I open your word and see the sunrise. I hope in nothing, boast in nothing, only in your suffering. I live to show you glory, dying to tell your story.
What no one else could do.
bow down before the Lord God, our Maker. Let's get intimate, yo. Let's worship Him.
Cast down my crown to worship you in spirit and truth. As I see you on the throne, I see your train fills the roof. I'm on bended knees, hands extended, closed eyes. Holy, holy, holy is Lord the Most High. What with me? I'm a man with unclean lips, and I live amongst the people who's on the same trip. Then when Sarah flew to me with coal in his hands, touched me on my lips, said I was a brand new man. As the foundation shook, he's asking, who shall he send? I said, send me, Lord, I'll commit to faithful men. Sometimes, Lord, I feel like I don't give you enough to counter pure joy, to persevere when times get tough. So I'll keep a concentrated relationship fixed on you. I keep my eyes to the hills so I can have a right view. I stand in awe of you, how you measure the earth with the palm of your hand, and yet and still you want to be friends with such an unclean man. So like John, I fall prostrate on this island of life. I worship you, recognizing you in power and might, glory and light, eternal in sight, blameless and right, creator of life, thief in the night, Jesus the Christ.
I see the Lord seated on the
divine works all around me. I can't get past the evidence. The fact that you're invisible to me is irrelevant. I know your heaven sent straight to the virgin birth. Gave me a second chance even after man's curse. A third, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth. You wore my crown of thorns. You took my licks as they spit in your face. Off the cross of sin and you embraced. Now I understand what's the meaning of grace. I war against the flesh, can't wait till the day that you come. Cause every day I'm rewriting Psalm 51. From the weak to the dumb, you make us shine like pearls. Got a new engagement, broke up with that girl named World. The relationship wasn't fruitful, I was Satan's pupil. They told me you was an unfair God, I believe those lies. I know the truth now, cause you've been fair since creation. Man failing and you gave man emancipation. I know the saying, one sin can make man fall, but with one drop of blood, he can save us all. I'm a living sacrifice, I lay my life upon the altar. I pray to have faith that don't forsake you like a martyr. I have a desire, that's to know you more. I have no choice to live holy, cause I see the Lord. Full of his glory, and the foundations of the threshold tremble at the voice of him who called out. While the temple was filled with smoke, I said to myself, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I'm a man with unclean lips, and I live amongst the people with unclean lips. for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one seraphim flew to me with burning coals in his hands. He touched me on my lips. He said, my iniquity is taken away and my sins forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me.
To God, who's the head of our house, thanking him for his many blessings and all he's done for us. And Blackstreet would like to share all he's given us with you.
Jesus is real. Mercy is real to me. More precious than silver. More precious than diamond.
I'm a living witness to this, y'all. Because without God, my life would be nothing. So if you believe in what I'm saying, I want y'all all to come on and repeat after me. I know the Lord is real.
I know the Lord is real.
Yes, he's real, I know.
Yes, he's real, I know.
He gave his life, he sacrificed. Just to save my soul. Come on, y'all. I know the Lord.
I know.
Yes, he's real.
Yes, he's real, I know.
He gave us all his blessings.
He gave us all his blessings.
It was 2,000 years ago.
Now
come on, y'all. Help me sing the song.
Yes, he's real. I know the Lord is real. Yes, he is real. I can feel it in my soul. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. We just thank God for those gifts of songs. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged, which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. So following this selection, the next voice you will hear is, and back in the saddle and feeling better, is our very own Associate Pastor Terrence Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive our Associate Pastor Terrence Tate. Pray to the Lord after this selection.
As I listened to what was said, 'cause in my head I never thought it could happen to me. But I recall what I was taught in the 34th chapter of the book of Psalms. In spite of our afflictions, he'll deliver us from them all. My trust still lies in you. I know you. Gonna get hard sometimes, and when those moments come, I'll rest within your arms and give you praise for what's about to come. No matter how long it takes, I'll never give up my praise. So while I wait, I'll be patiently praying. Book of James, the proud faith shall save the sick, the Lord will raise them up once again. Yeah, that encourages me to praise him along the way to my breakthrough.
My trust.
I'm about to
Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for giving us the opportunity to come to you with our praise and with thanksgiving, Father. Father, you said in your word in Psalm chapter 150, verse 6, you said, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. No matter what we go through, we thank you and praise you for what you are doing, for what you are doing in us, for what you have done in us, and for what you will do in us and through us and for us. Father, there are some of your people that are listening to this broadcast are dealing with physical ailments, Father, but you said in your word in James chapter 5, verse 14, if there are any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Father, you are the God of provision. You will provide the healing that your people need for their own physical situation, Father. You said in your word in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, you said, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. In verse 7 of Proverbs chapter 3, you said, be not wise in your own eyes, but turn away from evil and hear the Lord. Father, the reason why many of us don't see our miracle, the reason why many of us don't see the miracles of God fulfilled here on earth is because we don't turn away from evil and hear from you. We let our circumstance overtake us. When you said in your word in John chapter 16, verse 33, in this life you're going to have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. Father, you said in your word, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You said that in Psalm chapter 34 and verse 8. You told us in your word in Psalm chapter 34 verses 1 and 2, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Then you said in verse 2 of Psalm chapter 34, you said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name forever. Father, today we exalt you through prayer. We exalt you by bringing our requests and petitions to you, Father, because you are the only one who can answer our prayer. Even when we don't know how the answer is going to come, Father, you said in Jeremiah chapter 33 and 3, call on me in the time of need, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things that haven't been done yet. Father, the reason why we don't see out many of our miracles fulfilled here on earth that you want us to have is because we don't pray to you before we ask you. You tell us in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, that if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will forgive their sins, heal their land. You said that in your word, Father. You told us in Luke chapter, six, verse 46. You said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do anything I say?" Father, that includes our prayer life. We say that you are in control, but when we pray, are you really in control? The reason why we feel like you're not in control is because we don't let you have control of our lives all the time. We worry about things that you tell us not to worry about. You said in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, if you're going to pray, don't worry. If you're going to worry, don't pray. Lord, you are the only one who can answer our prayer, even when we don't know what to pray. You are the only one who has always answered our prayer, whether it was through people or whether it was by your power. You have always answered our prayer, even when we don't know how our prayer was going to get answered. So, Father, we thank you, and you tell us in your word, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, you said, "Pray without ceasing, rejoice evermore." You tell us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God for you through Christ Jesus." So no matter what we go through, help us understand that instead of worrying about what we're going through in this life, we ought to be giving you thanks and giving you praise, because you are the reason why we go through what we go through. And the reason why we go through what we go through is so that you can see how much faith and how much trust we have in you. Not only do you want to see how much faith and how much trust we have in you, you want to see how much love we have for you. Father, I could talk to you all day, but we've got to move on with this service. So bless the preacher with a word that is full of you. Move her completely out of the way. Have your way. Use her in the way that you want her to be used, so that you will be glorified through the message that you have given her. Father, I don't know who this prayer was for, but this prayer belongs to you, and you are the only one who can answer our prayer. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray this prayer. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Power and prayer. Pastor Terrence, thank you. Thank you for praying and making our request known to God. You know we appreciate you, and enjoy your day.
I will. You too.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, hey, I am truly enjoying the service, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I just want to say, just acknowledge that it is Youth Saturday, and let's just please continue to keep our youth all over this beautiful world lifted up in prayer. We love you, youth. We need you. We need our youth to survive. Amen. I just want to thank Sister Rebecca Johnson and Pastor Sister Associate Pastor Terry State for standing in for our youth. Okay? All right. Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God. But and then I want to say before that, and thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiles today. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen? Okay, and now it's time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. So the next voice you will hear following this song selection is our very own Sunday school teacher of our youth and little people, Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon. So let's prepare to receive our very own sister, Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, as she come in her own way with the word from the Lord. Amen.
The outpouring of your spirit, till I can't take no more. I need you, Lord, right now. Fill me up again. I cannot move on without you. Do like you did way back when. I need you, Lord, right now.
Happy Saturday. It is Youth Saturday, and I have the pleasure of bringing the word today. I am Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, and welcome to our last Saturday in July, and we hope to see you again in August. Let's pray, and we will get started. Lord, thank you for being who you are and what we need every time we need it. Thank you for all of the love and the joy and the peace and the patience that you continue to ask us to tap into, Lord. And thank you again for the example that you set for us physically, emotionally, spiritually, Lord. And we ask that you bless us with a word that is completely from you and not from me, Lord. And we thank you again for every person that has participated in the service today. Whether it be on stage or off stage, Lord, thank you again for the commitment and the participation, Lord. And we ask that you bless every broken heart, Lord. Give everyone something to take back to their own study and their own thinking. And maybe change some perspective today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okie dokie. It is always a pleasure to bring the word. And it's always a pleasure to get these extreme butterflies, right? Today I am going to come from Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 to 32. Today I want to talk about faith. And so I'm going to bring this passage to light, which is Jesus walking on water, but I'm going to bring it from Peter's perspective because Peter was involved in that scenario, and we see Peter being a vital piece of the body of Christ. Not only that, but when it comes to faith, we know that Peter, his illustration that was given to us in the Bible about him was merely about his struggle with his faith at some point, sometime. Right. We also see that Peter is very, very vital into spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that was Jesus' road dog, to say the least. That was one of Jesus' road dogs. Right. Peter was very courageous, yet Peter was also childlike. He had childlike faith, and he was credited for that. He also was credited, and Jesus says in John chapter 1, verses specifically 40 and 42, that Peter was the rock. And so Peter was the foundation of what his ministry would be like, just to give a quick synopsis of Peter. And so I was asking the Lord for a while, like, what is the topic? And so Peter kept coming up, and I was like, oh, that is big. Peter is big. Peter is very vicious when it comes to Christ, but Peter also made mistakes. And so I've grown to appreciate Peter more, because Peter is who we are on a daily basis when it comes to walking with Christ. Peter's examples throughout the Gospels give very, very, very deep, vivid details on how he made mistakes and how he had to repent or he did certain things. And so I wanted to highlight Peter's perspective today, specifically when it comes to the walking on the water incident. Before I get into that, I want to talk about faith a little bit, right? In just 2 minutes on what faith is. And so in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, we understand that that faith is defined, right? And so faith is, and so, you know, us church kids, you know what faith is, but I'm going to get there. All right. Really quick from the NLT, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, and this is just to define faith. I don't want to give what my perspective of faith is. I have learned that everything that I say needs to be backed up with God's word, and so why not just come forth with it, right, in the beginning. Hebrews chapter 11, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that we
that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. And so faith is something that is not visible to the eye. It is deeper than a belief, and it is a very concrete assurance, right? And, of course, you know, I looked it up in the HarperCollins Dictionary because that is where I'm at in life. When I looked it up in the Bible Dictionary, it says faith to be true, trustworthy. And then the other thing that stuck out was received in baptism. And that's tied to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 27. The reason why that really stuck out to me is because we cannot function in faith without Christ. Christ is the example of what faith is. And so I wanted to give that light really quick because in Matthew chapter 14, and I'm going to read that story in a second, earlier in Matthew chapter 14, John the Baptist had just got beheaded. John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. Jesus then fed 5,000. In the beginning of this story, at walking on the water, Jesus was by himself. I kept asking the Lord, I was like, what does that mean? Our faith has to be so concrete that when things come up, they don't shake us up to where we can't continue what our ministry is. He fed the 5,000 after John was beheaded, not before. And so now you see Jesus in a physical state, and you see Jesus in a very vulnerable state, if you will. And so being alone, Jesus had to, hey, come on, Daddy, let's talk about this. We need to reconvene. I'm empty. And as a physical person, we know that Jesus felt everything we did, all of those emotions that we have. I'm sure that after John was beheaded and Jesus got the news from John's disciples that Jesus had to go sit down because he was empty a little bit. And sometimes we don't look at it that plainly, but when we understand the full trajectory of Jesus and understand that he walked this walk just like we did, he had to go sit down for a second and get filled back up. His faith had to be filled back up. Not saying he lost his faith completely, but as a human being in that domain, not in his deity domain, not in his domain of who he was, and he knew who he was, and he proved his claim, and he had evidence of every claim that he had. And every claim that he had was true. However, as a human being, sometimes we have to be filled back up. And so I am going to read Matthew chapter 14 to give our story. Matthew chapter 14, and it starts at verse. Sorry, I'm working on the way to Bible. 14. Two, if I'm not mistaken. Yep, 22. I am going to give the word out of the Message Bible for our story. With this being you, Saturday, and me being just a teacher in general, I like to see things very plain. So a child can literally come back and listen to it by themselves and get fed. Amen? Amen. All right. As soon as the meal finished, he insisted that the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead on the other side while he dismissed the people. When the crowd dispersed, he climbed the mountain so he could be by himself and pray. He stayed there alone late into the night. And that's where prayer is the number one way to get our faith refilled. Because faith is an assurance of something that we do not see, which is our God, amen, Yahweh, right? We need to have a connection or some type of communication that we can be recharged in him. That is how we renew our mind. This is how we literally have like a faith meter, if you will. And so the more that you convene with God, the more that you spend time with God, the more that you read your Bible, your faith will be filled because you need that faith for hard situations. And that's why it was so important for it to be noted that Jesus was alone and he was praying after this situation, after a grieving situation. He didn't really have time to grieve. After that, he had to feed some people, 5,000 at that. And so here we are doing that. And so now I'm empty and I need to refill as a human. And so again, he felt everything we did. Amen. Meanwhile, the boat was far out to sea, when the wind came up against them and they were battered by the waves. At about 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. They were scared out of their wits. "A ghost," they said, crying out in terror. But Jesus was quick to confront them. "Courage, it's me. Don't be afraid." Peter, suddenly bold, said, "Master, if it's really you, call me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come ahead." Jumping out of the boat, Peter walked on the water to see Jesus. But when he looked down at the waves churning beneath his feet, he lost his nerve and started to sink. He cried, "Master, save me." Jesus didn't hesitate. He reached down and grabbed his hand. Then he said, "Faint heart, what got into you?" The two of them climbed into the boat, and the wind died down. The disciples in the boat, having watched the whole thing, worshiped Jesus, saying, "This is it. You are God's son for sure." On return, they beached the boat at Gennesaret. When the people got wind that he was back, they sent out word through the neighborhood and rounded up all the sick, who asked for permission to touch the edge of his coat, and whoever touched him was healed. Amen. So here we have Jesus sends them out on a boat. Jesus goes out by himself, and then he said, "Okay, I'm charged back up, right? I have some sleep. I've read my Bible. Me and my Father have convened, and I'm ready to reconvene with them." And, of course, we know that Jesus uses the most ideal situations, right, to get our attention. The disciples were, you know, they had been spending a little bit of time with the Lord, but, you know, we were in the middle of this ministry thing. And so Peter, it says suddenly bold. And so the suddenly word really sticks out to me because that means all of a sudden. Like, I mean, okay, I'm going to be brave, right? And so that's what made me say, I'm going to look into Peter. And I'm going to see what Peter and this faith thing have in common. And so to give a quick history on Peter, in John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42, we see Peter being asked to come with his brother to see the Messiah. Here, I was kind of not perplexed, I was kind of in awe because I said, I thought Peter was, and the Lord said, what does it say? And it says that Andrew came and got Peter and said, hey, this is the Messiah, this is the Messiah, the one we've been talking about, this is the Messiah. And Peter then shows an amount of faith and says, okay, let's go see if this is really him. When Peter gets there, he sees the Lord and he says, hey, okay, it's you. But then Jesus does something for Peter, and he gives him a name. And that's when he calls Peter his rock. Sometimes you know when that person is essential for your walk. Jesus knew that Peter was essential for that walk with him. Some people are essential for your faith walk. That's why keeping good community is well. That's why we have to be careful and we have to be mindful of our faith, because sometimes sometimes our faith isn't in what it's supposed to be in because of others. And so what would have been like if Peter would have been like, nope, I'm okay. That's okay. Peter was very vital to the body of Christ and to his ministry and keeping the gospel of Christ to Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. Peter was essential for that. And so that small amount of faith, that mustard seed, right, that we like to talk about, that moves mountains out of our way, that mustard seed of faith, Peter showed in John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42, when somebody told him that Christ was here. When we look at Peter, and this is just, again, just a quick synopsis of Peter this short time, but Peter is a very, very, very deep situation. We also see later on, after Peter is walking with Christ and everything like that, that Peter now is walking on the water with him. I love the fact that he was bold enough to get out there. We have to have bold faith. When it comes to Christ and who he is and what he was bold about it. He never died down his deity because of someone else. And when I say that, I say he never denounced who he was for what his purpose was and what his ministry was. He never denounced God. He never denounced God. He may have denounced his position at the time and became man so he could be able to express that, but he never, ever, ever said, no, I'm not about my father's business. Never did he say that. Actually, he always said he was about his father's business. And I am my father, I want. My father abides in me and I in him. And so that is something that we have to take on. And that is something that Peter began to roll himself with, is faith. That he walked with God, he talked with God, he had more and more and more faith. Now, we also see later on in Peter's walk that, and everybody like, what, this is the same Peter that did not die? Yes, this is the same Peter, and so we'll get there. Your faith, you can have a lot of faith and make those mistakes. And so there are different pieces. I found five different departments for faith and Peter and walking with Christ. And so first was that when Peter walked by word of mouth, right? Here we are. And so then Peter gets in a boat, and Peter believes God, and Peter walks out, and Peter says, you know what, Jesus, I'm going to have a little bit of faith, and I'm going to walk to you. Now, what happened? The minute he saw that things were going terrible beneath his feet, he lost his faith, because Jesus says that. In the King James Version, everybody, oh, ye of little faith, right? And so in the New Living Translation, you have so little faith. Why did you doubt me? Faith and doubt cannot live together. They can't. Faith and doubt cannot live together. If they do, though, one has to dominate the other. Two beasts beat within my breast. One is foul and one is the. Which one are you going to pick? And we always faith over fear, faith over fear. It's easier said than done sometimes, though. We literally see right here in Matthew chapter 14 where faith over fear, and fear kind of, sort of, maybe looks like it won a little bit, maybe. But then here we go, because then we have someone in our community that's well, Jesus himself, Lord, thank you, right? And he picks Peter up. And even though he says, hey, why are you not believing in me some more? You are the person I need in my corner. You are my corner piece. What is going on? And so then we see Jesus goes into a biblical teaching of not only Peter, but the disciples that were there to see Peter's example, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You're not always going to see why your faith is being tested. And I love that about God, but it also makes me like, oh my goodness, Lord, really? And the thing about faith is that you won't always see what's going on through the process. Sometimes you have to go through the whole process in order to get that much faith for one instance, and then you got to go through a whole other process again to refill back up. That's the thing. Faith. The more you fill up your faith, the more you'll have in there, right? The better response you'll have when things happen. Peter was legit scared because he thought he was about to drown. And God felt that. God, Jesus knew that. God knew that. The Holy Spirit knew that. Jesus knew that. He's like, whoa. You think I'm going to let you drown? You my homie. Sometimes our faith gets so dwindled and minimized and little and low, and I'm talking to my whole self, everyone, okay, that we forget we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Christ came down to give us an example. Christ walked with people like Peter. We definitely see that later on, that faith also helps within our mistakes. And so even though we're only specifically talking about him walking on the water, we do know that later on Peter denied Christ. And he went and wept somewhere, and he had to repent. And we know that there was a process behind that. So know that our faith can help us to not make a mistake. We are going to have trials and tribulations. There are going to be things in life that trouble us. But does it have to rock the boat that hard that our faith is completely gone? Do you have enough faith to live this life in Christ? That's the thing, okay? We get accepted to Christ, and we're like, okay, here. But are we constantly putting towards our faith? Are we constantly adding to our faith so that our reservoir is full? I didn't know about a reservoir until I got a car. I'm like, is there an extra space somewhere? What's that? And that's for when stuff run out. And so but what happens when your reservoir is dry? That's when I believe that Jesus went by himself the most, even when his reservoir might be, you know, his physical, not his spiritual, never ran dry. His spiritual reservoir never ran dry. Jesus was grounded in the fountain of life. And so for Peter to be connected to someone like that and to watch him be weak in those moments sometimes and weak physically, as far as that I need to go get refilled from the Father himself, right? That later, Peter was to understand what this was and what this really was supposed to be and how Jesus was very much so the Messiah. Amen? Another thing that I've learned about Peter was that his faith created him to be an advocate for Christ. Everybody's like, well, everybody makes mistakes like Peter. They do, but do you have the inertia, if you will, do you have the stamina, the momentum to fill your faith back up to fess up to those mistakes? Because when Peter denied Jesus, he being wet. Then he went and later on he was back with him. So I had to recharge and, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Sometimes we forget that we have to represent the kingdom. Jesus has to go fill back up because he always has to represent the kingdom. And again, in a physical state, he became weak. So his faith was challenged. Excuse me, his faith was challenged. We have to remember that. Our faith is going to be challenged for the kingdom. Is your faith? Amen? The last concept that I want to tackle really quick before closing, because I really want to give a message from Peter himself, is that forgiveness comes with building faith. I am working on forgiving. Amen. I am completely working on it. However, forgiveness is essential for building faith. Peter himself asked about faith, learning to faith and forgiveness and the essentials of it. And that is in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, and then also Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. And so he literally like, so somebody can do me both, and I'm supposed to let them? How many times? Wow. And so because we understand that Peter had an aggressive faith, we understand that denying himself in front of Christ probably was the hardest thing of his life. I, myself, when I get in front of people that I'm supposed to, quote, unquote, behave in front of, I always be like, I'm the bad kid, right? Because you know you. When Peter slashed that dude's ear in the Bible, he, oh, man. And we are, that links back to that mistake. Now, in order for us to be forgiven, we have to forgive. And that's not a catch. It's not a catch. It's a promise, if you will. It's a promise to build your faith. If you are going to trust God to help you forgive someone that damaged your faith, he's going to give you back double. That was for me. Sorry. Y'all got in my space today with the Lord. If you are going to trust God to help you forgive that faith, you also have to have faith that he is going to help you in a different space as well that you can never imagine, because he knows how much you can take, and we know that. He knows how much you can take. But he's also going to make sure that you got the best faith out there. Amen? And that's what we want. We want to have the best faith out there. But we also know in our spirit, in our physical form, that that's going to take some sacrifice. That's going to take some giving up some things. In order to build our faith, we are going to sacrifice. We have to sacrifice who we are physically in order to get where we want to be spiritually. Amen? Amen. Okay. Before I close, I want to read. In 2 Peter chapter 1, there is a specific letter from Peter about growing faith. And I really meditated. I'm going to meditate more on it, but the words really popped out because sometimes we be like, okay, Jesus had the ultimate plug. Okay? Jesus had the ultimate plug. We, not saying we don't have the ultimate plug, but we're 100% physical. And so sometimes we need to hear from someone that walked that walk completely. Not Jesus completely walked that walk, y'all. There's no better to listen to it but from Jesus himself. But when it comes to good community, we have to hear people that have walked that walk as well, that have been building their faith, that have been forgiving, have been sacrificing things in order to forgive, to get that faith, to conquer something else for the kingdom. Amen? All right. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 10, and I'm going to read it from the NLT version. And then after that, I'm going to pray. And again, this is on growing. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. Again, showing that he denied himself. Before I read this, faith is about submission. In order to continue to build faith, we also need to submit ourselves, our thinking, our perspective, our wants, our desires, everything to align with the body of Christ. Everything to align with what God's will is. Amen. I am writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desire. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with the generous provision of moral excellence. And moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are really among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The reason why we grow our faith is because we are supposed to be embracing the body of Christ on earth, embracing the kingdom on earth. We are supposed to be saving souls daily. And so I encourage everyone listening to grow your faith. Be like Peter. Get out on that boat suddenly. You know what? I'm going to be brave, and I'm going to grow my faith. Grow your faith. You are going to be rewarded. Yes, there are things you're going to have to sacrifice, but you are going to be rewarded. Peter was rewarded. He was known as the rock for Jesus. Jesus knew his potential, and Jesus knows all of our potential in him. Jesus knows what it takes for us to grow our faith, those little bitty instances. We have to tap in and ask. He's telling us right here, self-control, brotherly love, all of those things, godliness, live in godliness, acknowledge, grow in your knowledge in Christ first. And we hear that all the time, grow your knowledge in Christ first, because that's where your faith is grounded, in Christ. Amen? Amen. And for those who have not accepted Christ and are is looking for a foundation, find it in Christ. Jesus came to not to condemn the world, but to save everyone and to give life more abundantly. He left the Holy Spirit so that we can be able to tap in whenever we need to. He left his word so we can meditate day and night. It's available. All you have to do is receive it and have faith that it'll grow for you. And sometimes you will have to regrow your faith. Plants have to regrow things. It's okay. But he gave us everything we need to continue to grow and grow well. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for a message that gives us a physical example, a spiritual example of how to continue to walk with you. Lord, we understand that faith is from hearing, and hearing is from you, Lord. Allow our ears to align to only your voice. Allow every listener to be blessed, Lord, and to be able to grow their faith in some type of way so that they can mold their lives for ministry and mold their lives so that they are listening to what you want for your kingdom on earth. Thank you again for everyone that participated today, Lord, and I thank you for everyone that sacrifices on a daily basis around the world for your glory, Lord. Allow those that are still looking for foundation to find that foundation and to build that faith in you, Lord. And thank you again for all of the things that you bless us with on a daily basis. I ask that you give us all a very uneventful week and that when we meet again, Lord, it is just a sweet fragrance to you. In Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Lord have mercy. So I don't know if Pastor Sarah was in my weekly session on yesterday that I had, or if she talks to my counselor and gets my information, but I had this entire conversation yesterday about faith, about my faith, about how do I get it to where it needs to be. I don't feel like I'm mature like I should be after having been in the Word for as long as I have been. Like, why sometimes do I feel like an infant in the Word and in, excuse me, and in Christ and just in sometimes the way that I handle things? And I feel like okay, now I got to put her on the block list. Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon can't preach no more on Block Talk, y'all. She just gave her farewell sermon without even knowing it. Because, wow, faith, faith, faith. What you have to do to get your faith where it needs to be. Now, I personally have been Peter. I've been the good part of Peter. I've been the bad part of Peter. Now, I ain't been that bad. Well, I done went up to somebody, sliced their ear and was like, okay, you know what, I'm sick of you, go sit down somewhere. But I have been that bad part of Peter where, you know, you can cuss a little bit and, you know. But I've also been that bad part of Peter where it's like, you know what, Jesus, me and you, we got beef. I got beef with you. I got beef with why this is like this. I got beef with why I'm like this. I got beef with why they're like this. And you'd be like, you know what, I'm going to sit down. And then you say, you know what, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. So you go back and you still acknowledge that God is sovereign and he knows everything, even when you don't. And he knows everything and can fix everything because he sees the end even when you don't. So that sermon, I don't know how y'all took it, but I know how it just blessed me. I hope that every single person who listened to this sermon today was blessed and has an understanding of what faith is and what it means and how you apply it to your daily walk. Because there's no need for perfection in this life. You do not have to check all the boxes in this life. And guess what? You won't. And you don't have to. And that's the beautiful thing about Christ, is that the boxes that we can check, when he died on the cross, his blood that he shed for everyone checks all of those other boxes. So Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, you're blocked from preaching on Blog Talk again. But I thank you so much. I personally thank you for the word that you brought today. I know that so many people are blessed by what they heard today, and it just helps us to pick ourselves up by our bootstraps, dust ourselves off, and keep walking in faith, growing our faith in the knowledge of Christ. So, wow. Thank you so much. We are truly blessed we are thankful. I'm just about speechless, but y'all know that don't really happen for me like that. I'm just like, wow. Okay, y'all, good morning. Happy Saturday. It's Youth Saturday. It's the fourth Saturday in the month of July. And speaking about our youth, you know, that is a really pivotal message. When you talk about faith, our youth are so, they're confused. They're lost. They're unsure. They don't know who they are. They're searching for identities. They're searching for communities. They're searching for like-minded people so they can feel like they belong. But even if you party a one, you party a one with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's really all you need. God will bring those people around you that you need to be surrounded by so that you can be uplifted and be positive. So for the young people, faith in Christ, not in people, not in things, not in social media, but your faith in Christ is what gives you the foundation to be everything that you need to be in this life. You know, so just the awesome word, old alike, amen. So again, we thank Pastor Sarah Tate for the wonderful word that she brought to us today. Just by way of some announcements, Sunday, I'm on the 23rd, right, y'all? Yep, Sunday, July 23rd, we will have our Sunday school class at 9 a.m. with Assistant Pastor Janice Tate as our teacher. And continuing on, we will have our praise team leading us in song as we proceed into our worship service. That begins at 10 a.m. It is the fourth Sunday. So I know sometimes Pastor Janice Tate preaches on the fourth Sunday, but Pastor O might be preaching on tomorrow. So either way, go. It don't matter who's preaching, just come to church, okay? No matter who the preacher is, just come to church, amen. So, you know, we worship at River Rouge High School in the LGI Auditorium. Again, Sunday school begins at 9 a.m., and the worship service begins at 10 a.m., amen. Every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is here on Blog Talk Radio with his series Training Day, so please get in on that. Wednesdays at 6 p.m., our new Bible class, of course, is in full swing. So it's here on Blog Talk Radio, again, on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. A textbook is required for this class, so if you want to be in attendance, it's not too late. The books are available on our church website, rfcm.org. Just click on the Bible classes tab to purchase the book. Deaconess Rebecca Johnson will be teaching this week, speaking about separating the sheep from the goat in the lesson. So the questions are at the end of each chapter for discussion, so make sure you get in on that. Every Friday at 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with Bring Back the Family. So please join in and comment on the discussion about our children. Amen. Please remember that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. Check out our website again, rfcm.org. Share with others. You got classes, services, jobs, books, resources, and more, all available for free. Amen. We all like free stuff, so get in on that. Amen. If you want to pay your tithes or give any offerings, rfcm.org is the place to go. Just click on the tithes and offerings tab. If you would like to give a love offering for Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, who brought that word to us today, you can most definitely do that through the church website. I do believe she has, when you go on the church website and you click on tithes and offerings, I think there's a spot where it says preacher offerings. There are some of our preachers that have like Cash App and Zelle and things like that, other ways where they can receive your offering that doesn't have to go through the church website. So I think Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon has a Cash App or something listed on there. Don't quote me, but that's why you're just going to go to the website and check it out for yourself, okay? If not, you can always go through PayPal, which is on the church website, and just make sure you notate that your love offering is for Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, and we will make sure that she gets it. Amen. So the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness and sharing with us and with her on today. Amen. So Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. Not you will be, we working on your bulb, we working on your wattage. No, it says you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. We know that blessings are not always in the form of money or material things. Those things are great. But we know that a kind word goes a long way. The gift of love is free, and a warm smile is the universal language of kindness. So take time out to be some sunshine to somebody in your world today. No matter how big or small your world is, shine your light. Be some sunshine to somebody today. Amen? Because as Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, to keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Sometimes I just sit back and think about what entertained angels actually look like. Like, how do they celebrate when they're being entertained by us? I often sit back and wonder about that. Maybe we're going to have to talk about that. I just wonder what that's like and how they react and what that would actually look like to see entertained angels. Amen. Amen. So, by way of prayers, we always ask that you continue to pray for everyone, everywhere, all of the time. Please continue to pray for Doris Gaither, who is in Applewood Nursing Home. Of course, make sure to pray for Nakia as well, because she has been her caregiver for a very long time. Amen. Continue to pray for Mother Persia, who was in Wyandotte Hospital, but praise God, she's in church on Sunday. Amen. God answers prayers. So we also want to continue to pray for all of our mothers on the move at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Cheryl, again, as well as Mother Persia. Please continue to pray for Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks as she takes her daily radiation treatment. Amen. It was great to hear her in church Sunday school this morning. So God bless her, and continue to pray for her as she continues to heal and get this daily radiation so she can be back to normal and get back to us. Amen. Please continue to pray for Pastor Terrence Tate, who was in the hospital this past week, but now he is home. And again, God answers prayers because he did altar call this morning and did a great job at it, as he always does. Amen. So please continue to keep him in prayer, as well as his father, Deacon Charles Tate. Please continue to pray for Nico Gaston, our favorite president, President Sharon Abraham, Darius Freeman and his mother, Keela, who will be having surgery next month, Ed Johnson and Rebecca, Elder Joseph Stevens and his wife, Cheryl, Deaconess Lisa Thornton, again, all caregivers, nurses, doctors, and those that serve in the medical field, all of the teachers, staff, and students as they do prepare for another school season. Like I said last week, here in Michigan, our kids don't go back until the day after Labor Day, but you've got kids that are across the United States that have already gone back to school or preparing, you know, within the next week or two to be back in school. So please keep teachers, staff, administrators, parents, and students all lifted up in prayer. Also continue to pray for all of the leaders of our towns and our cities and our communities, all the way from local all the way up to Washington, D.C. Amen. So we have a responsibility to pray for those who have the rule over us. Amen. So continue to pray, again, for our president and our vice president and all those who have the rule over us. And please continue to pray for all who are bereaved, mourning, and grieving. Now, we know that that is going to be nonstop until Jesus comes back. So it is our responsibility to mourn with those who mourn. Okay, and to support those who are grieving the loss of friends and loved ones, we have a responsibility to be supportive and to hold them tight and to keep them lifted up in prayer. Amen? Amen. So, month of July, whole bunch of birthdays have happened, okay? So happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated their birthday this past week, or if you celebrated this entire month. We had a bunch of birthdays at Run for Christ Ministries this month, starting off with Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon. Then we had Clifton Davis. Then we had Hunter. Somebody's not muted. Then we had Malachi. Then my birthday. Then Logan's birthday. Then DeAndra and Isaiah. And Vice President Beatrice Cowan and Ryan and Baby Gia. She had her first birthday with her little cute self. Deaconess Nicole Seabrook celebrated on the 19th. And Deaconess Lisa Thornton closed us out with her birthday on the 21st. So happy, happy birthday to each and every one of you. Amen? Amen. And last but not least is your devotional for today. And it is entitled The Power of a Blessing. And this is by Pastor Jeff Shreve. You guys know I like to read his devotionals. They are very thorough, and I love them. So, The Power of a Blessing by Pastor Jeff Shreve. Excuse me. To sum up, let all be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. And that's 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 9. How do you react when someone is rude to you? How do you react when someone cuts you down and treats you with disrespect and contempt? Do you return evil for evil, insult for insult, and rudeness for rudeness? Do you have a tendency to treat people the way they treat you? Do you hear people, do you tear people up with your tongue if you perceive they are doing the same to you? A man known for his sharp tongue was Sir Winston Churchill. One day his nemesis, Lady Astor, said in disgust, "Sir Winston, if you were my husband, I would put arsenic in your teeth." To which Churchill quickly replied, "And Lady Astor, if I were your husband, I would gladly drink it." Now, that's a mess right there, okay? Without question, their relationship was a classic example of evil for evil, insult for insult. The Lord tells us that we are to give a blessing even when someone insults us, young people. The Lord tells us that we are to give a blessing even when someone insults us, especially when that someone is your spouse. God says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I can't even talk to that evil. What is that? Evil with good. Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Truly, a gentle answer turns away wrath. That's Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. Every marriage would benefit greatly by applying these verses to daily married life. So responding with a kind heart. How can you be one who rises above the fray and does not return evil for evil? God tells us that the answer is to develop a kind heart. When you are kind-hearted, you respond to people by cutting them some slack and giving them the benefit of the doubt. Remember, rude, mean people are that way for a reason. Like the lion with a thorn in his paw, mean, angry folks have a hurt in their lives somewhere, and a hurt that is causing them to be cantankerous, rude, and difficult to be around. Kindness always tries to see things from the other's perspective. Kindness always responds with patience, gentleness, and understanding. So, in your home, let's be honest, many homes are filled with insults. Husbands and wives are so often attacking each other with their words. Brothers and sisters so often insult each other and one-up each other in verbal cruelty. Whatever happened to home on the range, where seldom is heard a discouraging word? While it may be currently AWOL, which means absent without leave, in your home today, the good news is this. You can change the atmosphere in your home by keeping your tongue from insults and using your tongue to give a blessing instead. It works in marriage. I have a friend of mine who told me a story about taking his wife and 4-year-old son to Disneyland. His son, JT, was very excited about seeing the fireworks at the end of the night. After a full day, however, he ran out of gas and just fell fast asleep. My friend Ty decided it would be best to just go home. The family made the seemingly endless trek back to their car, and they put little JT in the car seat. When they did, he woke up. Now, as parents, we all know how that goes. He'd be knocked out, and you get him to the car, not wide awake. He was hysterical that he missed the fireworks and demanded to go back. His screaming and crying sounded like fingernails on a chalkboard to his tired dad. Ty snapped at JT to be quiet. When Ty's wife, Patty, came to JT's defense, Ty angrily snapped at her. It would have been very easy for her to respond back with an insult, but she chose a blessing instead. In the midst of a very tense situation, Patty said to Ty with tremendous sincerity and kindness, "Honey, I love you." That undeserved kindness cut Ty to the quick. He was blown away by her reply. He felt so bad for his tirade. He apologized profusely to his wife and son and vowed to drive back to Disneyland and repay the entrance fee just to see the fireworks. Her gracious and godly response made all the difference in the world. Now, I don't know if I would have done that, but praise God, little Ty, we would have just had to see that another day because, you know, you should have been awake, and you know how we do our kids sometimes. Like, you miss it, oh, well, we just catch it on the next go-round. But you can do it. With all those you come in contact with today, make a special point of giving them a blessing. Compliment them on something they do well. Encourage them in their daily life. Take criticism with a humble heart. Learn from it and bless the person who gave you that cutting remark. Young people, for real, because young people today, you can't tell them nothing. If they even think you're saying something, I mean, it is just fireworks, explosion. Like, there's no problem-solving skills. There's no let's sit down and talk about it. There's no conflict resolution. There's nothing. It's just you're automatically my enemy because I think you might have said something. I think you're looking at me some kind of way. No, kindness, 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 okay? Learn from it and bless the person that gave you the cutting remark. Compliment somebody on something that they're doing well. Be a point of being a blessing, okay? In marriage especially, trust God to enable you to be the husband or wife he wants you to be. Regardless of what your spouse says or does, choose to give a loving response. Choose to bless and not retaliate. You will be amazed at how God will work when you do things his way. Amen. Those are your announcements, but you see how just being kind and just being nice and just making it a point to be a blessing to someone else can kind of just make things 100% better. And you're being obedient to God because obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen? Amen. And those are for real your announcements. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Kindness. Amen, Crystal. We just thank you. Thank you, Crystal. You know, we appreciate
you. You're welcome.
And
absolutely.
Have
I appreciate
a beautiful...
you all.
Thank you. Have a beautiful day.
You too. Thank you. Love you guys.
Okay. Love you back. Okay. Yes. Kindness. Amen on that. My mom used to say, kill them with kindness, and it really works. Okay, so I just want to say thank you to Crystal again. She's always available and ready to do her thing. And just thank you for, very thankful, Pastor O, for entrusting me with the service today, and I'm just glad to be of service. And just thank you for all the participants and all the listeners all around the world, and a special thank you for to Sarah, Pastor Sarah, for that powerful faith sermon. And continue to keep all the youth all around the world in our thoughts and prayers. Amen. Okay. And remember, be the reason someone smiled today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Until we all meet again. Amen. Lift His Name by Antoine Hill. Have a beautiful day.
Trying to be
Ill Will made the beat down, beat down.
Persistence, my inconsistencies and everything that stopped my mission. I'm so obsessed with me and what I'm getting that times I miss what you've been telling me and what's your vision. I can't even see the bigger picture if my name ain't mentioned. That's not my plan at all. At times I fall to selfishness. I'm helpless if your spirit ain't with me. I need your help in this. Get so consumed in what I don't got that I missed the mark. I'm being transparent with you. At least we have a start. Confess my sins to you. I hope that's what my friends will do. Without you, I'm just filthy rags, dirt on my
Timberland boots. I preach it so you hear the truth and know you not alone. 10 years saved and I still battle issues that I thought were gone. That's why I trust in you, I need you, I'm in love with you. I seek your face, I praise your name, I'll never get enough of you. That's why I trust in you, I need you, I'm in love with you. I seek your face, I praise your name, I'll never get enough of you, yeah.
Thank you for your mercy, and I ask forgiveness for all the people that hurt me. My lack of living water really had me thirsty, but now my thirst is quenched, so I pray for the ones that curse me. How could I not recognize that missing you was an issue? Tough times was hard to get through without wanting to use a pistol, but now I understand the battle wasn't for me, and that the blood of Jesus Christ is running through me, and that the dirty devil's coming, he's gunning for me, but I got the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he's one in the three. That's why I lift his name up. Don't care about being famous. How could you really blame us? Jesus is the one who changed us. I thank him every day, hour, minute, even second. I'm tearing giants down, excuse me, Mr. Odell Beckham.
When I go with the Heavenly Father, I give it you all of me, God, give it you raw. Cut, funna, jump, cause you never left once. I can never repay you, I can never come close, but I praise you, wanna thank you for the grace and the grace and the payment, for the faith and the favor.
This is why I carry out the call for the lost, reaching, teaching people, leading to the call, yeah. Give you all my time that you borrow, you the boss, you the reason I'm a dean in my ball, yeah. Praise you even when I'm going through it. God told me, go, and that's the reason why I'm going through it. Lifting up my palms to the one who the throne, who the steady, who the fade on the cross.
The enemy can't even attack from the back, cause I'm giving it back to the Father whenever I can't handle the back. So past the man, so sad is that, blessed in me that I need him more than I need anything else in the whole world. No, for